is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. And the Eagles start an OTA today. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this morning?
Quite a bit, man. Eagles are up. They're up on the on-deck circle for an OTA today. I love it. So let's just start
Football
is back. What makes this OTA? Because, Ellie, I get all this stuff confused. What makes this OTA different than the last OTA or the next OTA? This isn't the mandatory one, right? Like, what is this OTA?
Right. Yeah, so I would say today is probably the start of what, you know, fans would consider the more like traditional OTA, what you picture when you think of them working out at the NovaCare. They can start doing 7-on-7. They can do 11-on-11. Now, they can't have live contact, so it's not going to be padded practices with contact. But 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 without contact is, frankly, a large portion of what they do for training camp at this point. So I do think, you know, this is the start of that. It's not the mandatory mini camp. That'll come a little bit later. But they'll be on the field today. They'll be on the field Wednesday. Friday, and then they have three more dates. So, yeah, definitely the next start of, like, the ramp up to get ready for training camp.
Do we know how they determined which veterans are to be there, Elliot? You know, we know it's going to be the young guys, but then there's always the sprinkling in of the new additions also. Do we know any more about that?
Yeah, so this isn't like a rookie minicamp or anything. Everybody is expected to be there. Now, it's not mandatory, to be clear. So you don't have to be there. But, you know, in my experience covering, you know, the team under Nick Sirianni, they always get really good attendance. I would expect most of the big names that, you know, we think about are there. So, yeah, this isn't like, you know, where they're asking a few select veterans to come. They're hoping all 90 players are in the
building. Wow. Okay, so that's a big deal. The thing I was noticing just looking at the two deep the other day, we've got only one rookie in a position to be out there with the starters. And I wonder if they'll hold Jihad Campbell out of that spot, or and I guess this is something that you'll be able to tell pretty early on. Jihad Campbell, is he a starter right away at the very first OTA, or do they try to hold back on that one?
And I'll even add this. Do we even know if he's physically capable of
that too,
getting out
that
there?
That too. Yeah. But remember, they're not hitting. They're out there and they're running. We know it's a shoulder. And I've seen guys in the offseason, myself included, who have rehabbed shoulders. They get out there and they do this stuff. You can do this stuff if you're not hitting.
And we certainly
– in some cases.
And Elliot, I keep cutting you off. We'll get to you. We certainly saw – when he came out on the stage, draft night, the guy can move around.
Yeah,
like,
sure. Yeah, he's not on crutches.
Correct.
He can move. He can play.
So what do you make of it?
Are they letting him?
Yeah. What do you make of it, Elliot?
Yeah. So I would be very surprised if Jihad Campbell is working with the starters or even the backups. I'm pretty sure Quinyon, if I remember correctly, last year started with like the fourth team on defense. So only covered Vic Fangio for 1 year, but it does seem like he likes to take the rookies. You know, so like he's not just going to throw them out there. So. Yeah, I don't think Jihad Campbell will be with the starters today. I would be surprised if he's doing team activity today. He didn't do it in rookie minicamp. It'd be, you know, pretty tough to put him out there right away in the team activities. But in terms of competing for a starting job next to Zach Bond, if healthy, he'll be given that opportunity for sure, especially with, you know, Nakobe recovering from his injury. Now, they did release a video of the team playing, you know, pickup basketball, not the most, you know, not like legit 5-on-5, but Nakobe was running around in there. So, you know, maybe it's coming along quicker than you would think for Nakobe. But regardless, I think if they had to play a game today or practice, I guess, today for a game, it would be Jeremiah Trott Jr. next to Zach Bond.
And then guys like Azeez Ojulari, Adoree Jackson, Josh Uche, these are players who've had some success in the NFL, and we don't discuss them ever. I'm assuming they're going to factor in a little bit more than we, the fans, realize, right?
Yes. So I would actually put them in two separate categories. I think Azeez Ojulari is going to make the team, and barring a really bad training camp, is going to get snaps. Like, I'm not saying he's guaranteed snaps, but I think they view him in the rotation right away to start the season. So I think he is expected to contribute. I think they are higher on him than they are on Josh Uche. Josh Uche to me is a true like shot in the dark. Just see, you know, he had 11 and a half sacks before in a season, so you might as well give him a chance. But the league has somewhat spoken on him. He was traded for a 6th-round pick. He didn't play for Kansas City. He got barely any guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. I think the difference is Josh Uche was looking for an opportunity. Azeez Ojulari got to pick his opportunity. There were multiple teams interested in Azeez Ojulari, and he decided to come to the Eagles. They targeted him early in free agency. So you're right that both of them have had success in the NFL. Frankly, probably the most success of any edge rusher they have besides, yeah, you know, Bryce Huff. So, but I just, Josh Uche at this point has much more to prove, I think, than Azeez Ojulari.
And what about Adoree Jackson? You know, we talk about who's the third cornerback. Who could that be? Yeah. You got Quinn Yan, you got Cooper DeJean. A lot of people seem to think Kelee Ringo is that guy, but Adoree Jackson has played in this league. He's been around the block. He's not going to give you rookie mistakes. He's not going to give you inexperience errors as often as some young guys would. But how does that all factor in? Is he even factoring in?
Well, I think that's what they like about him, is that he has a lot of experience. And that's something that their other cornerbacks just don't have. Quinion, Cooper, Keeley, Mac McWilliams, the 4th-round pick. I believe it was 4th-round this year. So, like, their experience is just lacking it with the other corners. Adoree Jackson brings them a player with a bit more of a high floor, I think, at this point. Now, his ceiling is probably not what it used to be. Yeah. Certainly, when he first came out, he's not the athlete he used to be. But he did play in the snaps he played last year for the Giants. He did play better than he had the year before. So, you know, you would hope maybe on a one-year deal, he feels motivated. You get the best version of him. But I think he's just there for veteran experience. If Kelee Ringo doesn't have a good OTA or mandatory minicamp, maybe the first start of training camp, could Adoree move ahead of him? Absolutely. I think they're very open to that. So they just view him as a backup at multiple spots.
Elliot with us right now. Of course, Eagles with a new OTA starting today. Elliot, let's get to this Hard Knocks issue. So yeah. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox. From Armin Chevrolet, together let's drive, visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you like that the Eagles will be on Hard Knocks when the NFC East teams are featured in December? Now, James, give your argument for why you say no. Is it as simple? Tell me if it's as simple as this, James. Hard Knocks can't help my team win a championship, but they could hurt my team's chances to win it because it creates a distraction.
Exactly.
That's your argument.
That's it. And even if it's 1%, why?
Okay, and Elliot, my argument on the other side of all of that is sports are supposed to be fun, and I'm looking forward to on a Wednesday night watching more Eagles in December. Where do you stand on the distraction versus fun issue within Hard Knocks?
Yeah, so I definitely lean on the fun side. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see footage we haven't seen before. Now, I will say the team went through something similar. I think it was 2019 where they did the Amazon show. Yep. That was full season. And, you know, look, there were certainly some fun parts of it, but it ended up, in my opinion, being somewhat boring. Like, we didn't really get to see much. The Eagles actually, I think, do a better job currently of releasing behind the scenes footage, like the unscripted stuff they do. So will it be a distraction? Look, it certainly is, I guess, more of a distraction than not because they're in the building. But it's someone that's down there throughout the season every day. Like, the Eagles are very, very used to media coverage. There are cameras in there all the time. They do a ton of media. This isn't like if we covered or talked about the Carolina Panthers and it's like, oh, all of a sudden people are going to care. The Eagles are at the attention, are at the forefront of every story. So I get James' point, right? Like, ultimately, it is something that is there that doesn't have to be there. But I just don't. This team doesn't strike me as one that'll get distracted, so I think it'll just be fun for fans.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I will say, what makes this different than, for instance, other stuff they've done in-house? And the NFL draft footage, John, I mean, they're great with that. How we thinking through, am I picking this guy or that guy and talking to Lori? I love it too, but one thing that makes it different, to the best of my knowledge, that would be an Eagles employee filming them. This is not going to be an Eagles employee filming them. So
that's correct.
It's a little bit of a different dynamic there. You know, you got a non-Eagle employee in your building, in the room. It is different.
I would just say that, and look, I don't think we can always just use the crutch of, well, they won the Super Bowl, so nothing mattered. But they did have Brandon Graham last year say Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown essentially aren't friends, and they still won the Super Bowl. So I just think this team is so used to dealing with distraction and media coverage that it's hard for me to picture them being put in a situation where they are thinking to themselves, wow, this is something that's truly distracting us or that we can't handle. They've pretty much dealt with it all. So I think the experience of being a major market team and dealing with that makes them better prepared to handle it than I think other markets or teams would have been.
Elliot, I think our owner, Mr. Lurie, planted a distraction for in me. I am now distracted by Ben Van Sumeren. I need more information. Is this guy going to be playing fullback in these OTAs?
Yeah, he will be. I mean, he is a fullback. Like, that is how they are describing him. That's how they announced him when they signed him. That's the room he'll be in. Now, it's only a one-man room at this point, so he'll probably more likely, you know, be in the running back room. But, they're going to try him out at fullback. They had him do it last year. Obviously, when he went down, they signed another fullback to kind of fill his role. Do I think that he's going to be a huge part of the offense? No, I don't. But I do think they want to use him out there as a fullback. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how often he's out there. We won't get to see a ton of 11-on-11 during OTAs, I don't think. But for the mandatory minicamp, we will. And then obviously for training camp. So very excited to see how often he's out there.
What number do we know what number he is if he's playing offense? Because he's 57 as a linebacker.
I thought he was 47, but I can look that up.
So, Elliot, pretty potentially big story that started developing this weekend in football. The salary cap thing. So a lot of people thought the Eagles were targeted with the tush push vote. I tend to think they weren't. I tend to think the play itself was targeted, not the Eagles' success. But a lot of people think the Eagles' success was targeted. Okay. So now there is talk, as there was a report over the weekend, that Roger Goodell is looking to possibly change some aspects of the salary cap. Can you walk the audience through what could change, why it could change, and how that could impact the Eagles? Because they have benefited with Howie's greatness with the salary cap and what this could be for the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, so basically what it seems like the NFL wants to do is fix the salary cap so that teams can't like use loopholes to manipulate it, essentially. Now, we all know from talking about the Eagles and covering the Eagles the past few years, the Eagles are awesome at working the salary cap. And the best way to explain it would be this. If you took their top 10 players on the roster in terms of average value, like average contract value, it should be over $200 million. I think it's $215 million per year on the salary cap. But because of how the Eagles structure their contracts, it's just over $100 million. So simplistically, just look at it. They have $100 million less in salary cap hits than they should based off the average value of the contract. Now, the reason that's a big advantage for the Eagles specifically is because they have an owner in Jeffrey Lurie that pays a lot of cash and allows that to happen. So the reason the NFL is going after this is because the poor teams, or the teams that are not willing to spend cash, they're essentially being put at a competitive disadvantage because they're not getting these like long contracts. So for as much as the tush push was focused on the Eagles, and we talk so much about how like it could impact them, ultimately it was not going to impact them a ton on the field. If the NFL changes how you can structure contracts, that is a potential big deal for the Eagles. Not so much this iteration, because it won't be for a few years, but in the future, they'll lose the advantage of having an owner that spends a lot of cash.
Yeah, but that's wild, man.
Doesn't this reflect the way everyone in the NFL operates?
No.
Elliot, I mean...
No, but that's what I'm saying. Degree, like, not all teams, in fact, very few teams.
Part.
Correct, yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, that's the difference.
So, Elliot, it sounds like they're looking to kind of harden the cap a little bit more. Right? I mean, is that a...
Correct. Yeah. Like, and the other way is, you know, we hear so much about dummy years, right? Yeah. The Eagles put dummy years on contracts where it's a 5-year deal, but really in the system, it's an 8-year deal. Those three years never happen at the end, but it helps them stretch the cap out. Not all teams do that. Like, very few teams, actually. And the Eagles were one of the first, if not the first team to do it. So them taking this away is really taking away something the Eagles thought of on their own and are able to do because of Jeffrey Lurie. So no, not all teams do this. It would definitely hurt the Eagles more than other teams.
Well, that is really something to keep in mind, because That's been a big advantage. All right, Elliot.
Now it's a few years away for what it's
worth. No, I understand. For sure. Elliot, great report. I know you'll be covering the OTAs. I'm sure we'll talk to you a few times this week. Thanks, pal.